everybody. Again, welcome to another episode of the Chat Wheel. Episode 3, as a matter of fact. And with me this week, as always, is Greg, what is late, Laird.
Wow.
Yeah, thanks for being late today.
Pretty uncalled for.
No, it was definitely called for.
I was a little late, I'll admit.
We were supposed to record at like 4:30. It's now 8:15. Just a little bit.
Well, there's someone else whose fault that is.
Whose?
Nick.
Yeah, Nick. Good segue, by the way. With us this week, Nick. I can't pronounce your last name still. Say hello, okay. Nick. Karadze.
You can call me Cruel GGs. It's my in-game name.
I'm going to call you Nick.
Okay.
And our very special guest this week, John NY John.
What's up?
How are we doing, man?
I'm doing good. I had a pretty calm weekend, and it's like the calm before the storm with TI3 coming up, so I'm just going to enjoy the relaxation.
Yeah, you were actually casting something yesterday, right? What was it?
Yeah, it was a charity event for the Fiber Ops Summer Cup. They actually invited me in. I have some friends that work over at Esports Canada, so they asked me to go ahead and cast the gig, and I did it with one of these, a newer personality. I think his name is Clife. It's a weird pronunciation, so I said it wrong like 8,000 times, but I'm okay with that. And he was actually a nice guy, and it was a fun experience. I got to see a lot of NA veterans in the Dark Falco stack, and a stack that included Lust and other fan favorites amongst them.
Sweet. How do you get into casting anyway, by the way?
I got into casting... Wow. It was early 2012. I decided to get a new computer. I'm like, well, if I get a new computer, I might as well cast, because why not? And I started doing like SCCS and stuff. Well, initially I started practicing by myself and deleting everything immediately after because they were bad. But yeah. Then SCCS, and I got some positive feedback, so I stuck with it. So last summer I was doing a lot of different things, and you come to the full year. I did random stuff throughout the year. I mean, some Dota Hut stand-ins, some SCCS here and there, and then I eventually got to the Canada Cup 1 and 2. The second one was at the beginning of the summer, and ADL, of course, American Dota League.
And I'm assuming they came to you because of your experience on the Sunday Night Cups. Is that how Sean get to know you?
No, actually, Sean found me through Mutt, who was called to replace AC. So it was like a total fluke of luck. I mean, Mutt had casted previously the Dota Hut. I think he did a lot of games there. I'm not sure if he did some with Draskal or not. I think originally it was Neo Production, and that's what it was supposed to be like. He called me in, and we did some together, and a couple people liked our 1-2 combination. So he called me in when the ADL needed somebody, because those were long days. It was like 5-hour days. So he wanted a co-caster, and I just jumped at the opportunity. I also had to solo cast some of the games when no one was available, and I'm perfectly fine with that too. And it was really awesome. Sean's actually a really good guy, and I think it was a really good season one. The finals weren't that climactic, but you had a couple of good games despite this fact that the scoreline was 3-0 for Liquid.
Poor Insight, man. Insight, I like them so much. They did so bad. Like
I tried to will them to a victory. It just didn't work. Like, there was nothing I could do to help them win. I just wanted one. I don't care who they beat. It could have been, I don't know, my team, maybe. It just would have been nice.
I was talking to Plock. He was so nice. Like, I was talking to Plock on Skype, and he just, the sweetest guy. And every time he lost, I'm just like, I felt so bad. I really did.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I didn't get to talk to a lot of the players, but I think overall the players involved with the tournament were a really good bunch. I mean, it's a lot of players you've seen around, even in the South American scene for a long time. I mean, thinking of Pain with King RD, who used to be on the team, but now they had Pride playing, and Pride's like been around forever in Dota 2, and of course he was in Dota 1 as well. But definitely a nice group of teams. Hopefully and get a little bit more top heavy, because there was a slight drop off after the big three.
it takes time. You know, it takes time for these teams in North America to really get some practice in and be able to take on people like Liquid. I love Liquid, yeah. though, so it's okay. Are you going to be doing season two? If there is one?
They're talking about season two. I think Matsuri's going to talk to Sean about it at TI3, and they're going to figure out what's what. So maybe. We'll see. I'm definitely open and excited for the possibility of it. And you're right. It does take time to cultivate new talent. But I think with the amount of skilled players we have in the North American scene, if some people were just a little bit more active and less lazy, we could definitely have a lot of top teams that could be competing. There's no reason we should have three professional teams while Europe has a dozen and Korea already has more than us, I bet, and like half a dozen over there.
So, I agree.
You hear that, Nick? Stop being lazy.
Yeah. Okay.
Come on, get on it, Nick. You could be in the Come ADL on. Next season if you step it up.
I know.
I'm trying, man. We it's actually play in SCCS. We got like second place 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's
and then last week we lost to Dark Falco Stack in the first round.
Oh,
wow.
They're like,
can't even make it past the first round.
Dark Falco Stack is everywhere. They're like unavoidable, and it's just a train wreck because all they do is stack and destroy people with high hopes.
Yeah, they're good too, though. I think if they keep practicing, they'll definitely be in ADL.
Yeah, I think they're definitely... Dark Falco has shown a lot of talent. A lot of people criticize him because he played like three heroes only. And it was funny because last night he played like Timbersaw in two or three of the games. But it was a good Timbersaw, so why give him flack if he can play it well? I think Timbersaw is a really exciting hero too, so that was fun to watch. But there's tons of talent out there. I mean, even thinking about Lust and all those crazy Canadians, Risk is a really good player as well. So if people can just get their act together, we can have tons of competition.
Is Risk doing anything right now? Is he on a team?
I think he's between teams. I think I saw a Looking for Team posted sometime, but I don't know if he ended up. I actually had to sub in with Misha's team at one point just for a game or two, and he was playing with them. I don't know if he was a winger, if they picked him up, but maybe they'll figure it out.
Okay. But yeah. Speaking of Timbersaw, Wetbass just told me he thinks that Timbersaw is going to be like the secret hero of TI3.
Nope.
I can see that.
Nope.
Nope? Why not?
Nope.
Why not?
Timbersaw's so.
Awesome. That hero... Tell me why that hero deserves to be top tier.
Because he can burst you down mid-game.
He's got mobility.
Yeah? Have you heard of Lina?
Dude, yeah, Lina doesn't have pure damage, though. He has two
Timbersaw
sources of pure damage.
So much better than Lina for the damage
mid-game. God.
And he has like an escape mechanism as well.
Yeah, and he gets tanky the more you try to kill him. I think he's a
slow.
Great hero. Yeah.
He fucking slow as waddles. Well. He's slow.
And I are going to be on the polar opposites of good hero ideas, okay? I love Zeus. You don't love Zeus. I love Timber.
I feel like Art's easy, and then you don't like Timbersaw. He played it straight for like 2 weeks.
That doesn't mean it's good.
It is good.
It's pretty good. I mean, he's not a really
great.
Aggressive hero. And in the battle of the bad mids, which is more common as of late, Timbersaw comes out champion because melee versus melee middle, he can just do whatever he wants.
Well, yeah, like, he can just wreck.
No one can kill him. And then you roam top with any rune and you're all of a sudden the man because Timber Chain is ridiculous, pure damage early, and you can just fly across the map with like a 5 second cooldown.
Yeah, I'm expecting big Timbersaw plays into big Timbersaw nerfs after TI.
I am not expecting either of those things.
I pray to God Zeus comes in and just sweeps it. just so I can say I told you so to Greg over and over and over again.
Another RTZ hero.
I love Zeus. I'm like 60.
I'm glad that we don't just judge heroes on whether RTZ plays them or not.
If RTZ can play him, that means it's a good hero.
Oh, God.
I'm 60-15 with Zeus. That's my hero.
Whoa, that's actually really good.
Yeah, it's
a lot of Zeus games.
I play the same hero over and over. I've got 120 Clockwork games,
oh my
120
God.
Windrunner, 120 Drow. I don't remember what else it was. I like to play the same hero over and over. I'm boring until
that's
I get sick
smart.
Of it.
You should do that, but probably with better heroes. So that you get like exponentially better too. Like you should have done that with Puck if you'd known back then, and just trained it like KZZ did, and come out
you know,
with the best Puck in the world.
Yeah. I try to play Puck. I'm not good with him.
That's why you got to train it. You got to grind it.
All right, let's go play. I'll play puck, and you can play whatever later, and I can just bring us down over and over and over.
Honestly, playing the same hero over and over is really good.
Like, yeah, I play the same hero, the random guy. He's pretty good. He changes a lot from game to game, though.
Let me tell you how I learned Dota. All right, I learned Dota. Not this March, but last March before that, a year and, 4 months ago. And I wanted to learn, but I didn't know how to play. The first time I played Dota was in Warcraft 3, like, twice. And I just got ganked from the forest over and over and died. And I was like, fuck this game. And that was my experience with Dota. So I got to Dota 2, and I played Crystal Maiden for over 100 games straight.
Wow, you are really a masochist.
Oh, are you serious?
Dude, you are not nice to yourself. Holy
you
shit.
You'd have to pay me to play 100 Crystal Maiden games.
You couldn't pay me to play 100 Crystal Maiden games.
This was my thought process. I will take the slowest hero who dies the easiest, and if I cannot suck with her, then everything else is going to be easier. And it actually worked.
All right, so let me guess how these 100 games went. You played 100 games, and you still fed with her.
But I did better.
How do you not feed with Crystal Maiden? Is that even an option?
That's what you do.
So slow.
That hero sucks. I hate that hero.
Well, anyway, speaking of picking the same hero over and over, Sinkspeak has been playing Visage for, like, the past 25
games. That hero's insane.
He's training to be a support again.
Yep.
I think that's a huge hint towards him going to be on the official Kaipe roster soon.
I read somewhere that someone thinks Kaipe is going to turn into Q-Pad because Singh's already on. He's still on contract, I think.
Yeah.
But what happens to Waga, though? You've got one extra person if you do that.
Manager.
I mean, who is Q-Pad right now, anyway? Like, I don't
Waga
think
Waga and
Singh. Yeah, Singh. Jurax is in there, too.
Right. So I think it's completely fair of Singh to just turn Kaipe into Q-Pad if he wanted to.
I mean, the only one that loses is Waga.
Doesn't seem horrible.
Yeah.
I love
Singh. All right, well, let's talk about immortal items.
Sure.
I'd like to talk about the immortal items, mostly how angry I am that I don't have a Kunkka one.
Yeah, so to bring everyone up to speed, in case you didn't know it, which I'm sure people do, the immortal items came out, and there was 5 of them. 1 for Pudge, Venge, Kunkka, Lone Druid, and Abaddon. And the general consensus is the Lone Druid and Abaddon ones are just a little bit lower in quality, we'll say, than the other three, just because there's no custom animation. Because
you don't get a fucking whale. You get a whale with the Kunkka one. What do I have as Abaddon? This staff thing doesn't do anything.
And you can, and you have different attack animations.
Oh,
does
great.
That make you feel better?
Is there a whale when I hit the Q button? No.
If you close your eyes and...
You're right. Maybe that's really what I'll do when I play Abaddon. I'll just close my eyes.
Just play play Tidehunter.
Okay, but that's not the same as
a whale's
tail.
And it's better than a tail. You are the whale.
Yes.
It's true. So that's settled.
Okay.
You're all set,
Greg. Well, what's the alternative? Is everyone gets the same item, and then it would be horribly boring, and it would be, like, standard.
Yeah, but the whale. Then why didn't I get the whale? We'll have to talk to about that.
You have to buy, like, 3 more compendiums. That's it.
I think the taunt, the way they handled the taunt was one of the best ways to do it. Everyone got the same thing. Blanket of 5 of them. Done. And yeah, you think, you know, the rarity goes down. But in reality, we've gone up, 1.2 unique players since we've released from beta? So all the stuff we have now is, in the end, going to be rare. Whether people stop playing, accounts get banned, so on and so forth. Do you think there was another way they should handle this? Should they upgrade the effects maybe on Abaddon and Lone Druid?
I mean, there's nothing they can do at this point. It's just people might just, you know.
Well, not really.
Yeah, but then other people will be complaining about being like, oh, well. We don't get that. So what the fuck?
Go ahead.
I mean, like, it's kind of, I don't know, if they all had the same item, I wouldn't have been as excited for it. Like, I wanted to know which item I got. And, like, I got a pretty good one, I got the Pudge Hook, but even if I got the Lone Druid one, I think the excitement that I had before I knew what I had would be better than me just knowing that everyone gets a Venge weapon or whatever. So I kind of like it more like this by a lot.
I agree with that 100%. It's like on Christmas morning, like you can either open up the gift and it sucks, or you can open it up and it's like a Lego set. And like some people just need to get the Lego set. I happen to get it. I got the Kunkka item, and it's awesome. But
you got the Kunkka item?
Yeah, but so I think if we all got the same thing, it would be
so boring.
You got
the Kunkka item too?
Yep. This is bullshit.
And I got my friend a compendium, and now I have the Screwrox Talon as well. So I got two of them.
You bought another compendium?
For a friend of mine. He doesn't play much.
Oh, okay. Well, that's another thing. Like, people are going to buy more compendiums, so now esports gets more funding. It's like way better, because if everyone had the same item already, there's no way that people would buy compendiums just to get another item.
But you think, like, with Lone Druid and Abaddon, how it almost feels like a phone-in, we gave so far to compendium, we as in, you know, player base, $4 million extra. $1 million went to the prize pool. That's $3 million in the pocket. I don't think Lone Druid and Abaddon cost $3 million. It almost does anyone feel like that?
No. You have to look at it as you spent $10. You can't look at it on a grand scheme, I think.
$3 million.
if I donate $3 million and I got the freaking Lone Druid item, then yeah, I'd be pissed. I'd be irate. I'd be in Seattle because apparently I had enough $3 million to donate, and I'd be up in their faces trying to get a Kunkka item. But since that isn't the case, I think you spend $10, you get a random item, and now we're looking at it like Nick brought up a good point. The whole compendium is like the new buy-in for new players. Like, if you spend $10 on compendium, you get what? 5 taunts, a courier, an immortal item. Like, it's turning into the package deal now. So it's an incentive for new players to buy that and participate in the international too. So maybe we'll get a little bit more money out of it.
Three.
Well, I meant 2 T-O-O, but I guess...
Okay, I'm with you.
Come over.
I really feel like the $10 I spent, Valve has given me my work. Like,
oh yeah,
I got to vote on a 1v1 tournament, which for me is like the biggest thing. I'm so excited to see that.
There's no CTY though.
Items. Yeah. Wait, did they already say who the 8 players are?
The choices are there, so I'd assume without CTY being a choice, he's not going to magically show up, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
I didn't realize I came up with that yet.
Yeah.
Wonder. And then we got the battle boosters, which is like giving me like 40 levels already, just way
easier.
Yeah,
that's tons of items too.
Yeah, exactly. I feel really like I got my worth.
Yeah, I'm not complaining about the worth of the compendium. Just, you know, just the worth of my Abaddon thing.
Yeah, I should mention I'm going to play Devil's Advocate once in a while just to see what people say. So I will say I agree with you. I think, you know, $10... we've gotten a shit ton of stuff for $10. We really don't have any place to complain.
I mean, I always complain, so.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
But we were also, all of us were on Skype actually talking about this as well. The cosmetics, the boatload of cosmetics that came out. And at least for 2 days, Reddit was just exploding with hate for this stuff, for the most part. Do you guys think that the current cosmetics have gone too out of style for the heroes?
Not
like
yet.
Nyx, for example?
I mean, if it gets to the point where, like, in TF2, there's, like, the earbuds, you know? If it gets, like, there, I wouldn't really be... I would be unhappy, but, like, as long as it stays in the confines of the Dota universe... It's fine. Like, the Ursa set that got removed, we were talking about that earlier, too, but, like, I think that had no place in the game. It was a cowboy hat. So...
It was a nice hat, though.
It was a fine hat.
It got removed, like, last... Well, 2 years ago, almost now. But, I think that it's fine, really. I mean, none of these sets stand out as, like, oh, my God, how could they? In fact, back when the Meepo set came out and he had a top hat, I was like, oh! Meepo has a top hat. He looks clowny now, but nobody actually paid heed to that. So, I mean, I'm okay with whatever they throw out. And I think the bigger deal was the courier is a promo for some game that's not released yet, War Machine or something. I don't know. It's a tabletop game, it said.
Yeah.
And so they're afraid that, like, all of a sudden we're going to get cross promos from other Steam games or what have you. But with couriers, I feel like couriers can be anything. It's just like, you know, they're not that big a part of the game. Well, they are, but they're not in the middle of every fight. It's just you have to look at it occasionally, and you can choose what curry you want. But it's like saying that a certain team can't have a certain logo because it's going to be on team matchmaking floors, and it's going to look unlike Dota. It just doesn't really seem that relevant.
Nick, you have anything to say on this?
I'm with John, I think, on this one.
See, I like things being different myself. I'm a firm believer that, like, how many purple mounts can you have for Mirana before it kind of blends together, especially when you're not really close up to your hero all the time. You need to make things that are worth people wanting to spend the money for them. And you have to have some differences in them. Otherwise, it's just going to go, like, what, Shadow Demon? If you look at some of the Shadow Demon sets on there, they kind of blend together, and it's not really worth the money to me. There was, like, what, two lines that came out for Mirana, which they kind of look similar. I think you need to spend some... I think it needs to be... I don't mind the color scheme breaking a bit. I don't even mind the cross-promotion because, you know, who gives a shit? No, I don't anyway. That's my take.
Yeah, I'm there.
I think there's worse things that could happen. I can see if you go to the complete idiocy route of, like, Team Fortress 2, where everything's wacky and shit. I can see that, but...
I hope they don't do that. Yeah, like, that's fine. Like, it looks like it could be in Dota.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's not like... I don't know. What's something that couldn't belong in Dota? It's not a water bottle with wings.
Next week, Assassin's Creed Ezio style bounty hunter.
See, that would probably aggravate me a little.
That'd be fucking awesome. I'd buy that.
But I don't know. We'll see.
I guess it's 50-50.
So there was another piece of news that came out this week. The World Championship Series for Blizzard.
And I
really don't have many questions on this. I just want to bring it up. So they announced that, like, it will be held on August 10th to 11th, all three regions, in a 24-hour breakneck spree, all weekend long. Should we just thank them now, or wait till after the international?
Like, right, as soon as this news came out, like, every single headline was StarCraft II WCS the same weekend as the international. So it's possible that more people will actually watch TI because they announced this. And Blizzard is, if you guys don't follow, you know, the StarCraft scene, that used to be what I was really involved in. Blizzard is really, really good at fucking up everything continually. Like, it's actually unbelievable the lengths they seem to go to piss people off. And this is, like, a perfect example. They put, like, their biggest... This is their equivalent of the international or, like, LCS. But it's, like, the regional thing. It's, like, the regional finals. It's not, like, the finals, I'm pretty sure. So they're not even making that. But they're conflicting with the biggest esports event ever. Like, why would you do that? Do they think they're better than the international?
Even the StarCraft Reddit was exploding with, like, no, we're going to watch the international, guy. I mean, even
really?
The fans.
Yup.
Yeah.
Total That's Biscuit awesome. Was like, Total Biscuit was like, I'm watching the international, and I own a team in StarCraft.
Which, how are you going to get anyone else? That's
yeah.
That was like, checkmate.
I don't know. It's kind of like, it's like watching your favorite TV show and then seeing a commercial for a crappy one, and you're like, not fazed when you're a Dota fan, because it's like, what's WCS going to do against international numbers? I mean, last year, without compendium and all this crazy nonsense, they got, what, 500,000 plus for the finals?
Yeah.
So this year, there's already, I think someone did the math, it's at least 300,000 people bought compendiums to get that prize pool up there. So if people that bought the compendiums watch the game, which is pretty realistic assumption, and then extra people who have more interest outside of that and couldn't spare the $10 watch the game, those numbers are going to be huge. I think a lot of people treat sponsors like they're some all deity that doesn't see the actual workings of things, but a sponsor is going to go on and they're going to say, oh, look at the StarCraft stream. You're like, okay, this is cool. There's 30,000 people here. And then what's that with the 500,000 crashing the whole Twitch
website?
Breaking
Twitch.
Yeah. Why is the internet exploding? Why did my monitor just crash out? They're going to be like, well, you're putting these side by side. Where would I want to put my money? I mean, obviously, they're going to want to go to Dota. So, I mean, I don't know. It seems like a silly move. I don't know why they couldn't do, let's say, there's three. So they have three WCS regional finals, U.S., Europe, and Korea. Why couldn't they do Korea, which conflicts far less, on that Sunday, and then next week do U.S., and then a week before, a week after, do the European one, or even do U.S. and Europe the same week and just split it up a little bit so that they're not blowing everything up and making everyone outraged. It just seems really poorly planned. And I know they want to get to GamesCon or something, but they had some leeway, and they knew this was coming.
Yeah.
Well, they had the worst defense of it, too. Yeah. They weren't even sorry.
Yeah, they weren't even sorry.
Quote, what did they say? Did they make a response?
Yeah, the date clash was unintentional. Unfortunately, this has resulted in overlaps with other major esports events. They can't even say the international. These conflicts were certainly not intentional. The simple fact is that as esports has grown with more events, more games, and more viewers, it's nearly impossible to avoid all conflicts.
Oh, my God.
Many major weekend events already host multiple games, which are running simultaneous game streams in conflict with each other. And it ends off with, but we're listening, and we'll try to take this in consideration next time. It was the complete, there was no sorries, no nothing, just sorry, sort of, not really. We don't give a shit.
It's just stupid. Yeah. It's really stupid. They're dumb.
They're just saying, yeah, we're Blizzard. We don't check other esports when they have their events. We're number one. We can host whenever we want, whatever we want.
Matt Marcoux and Pendragon are laughing at you for trying to fight Dota on that stage. Seriously, they try and buy out domain names and stuff to stop Dota from growing, but even they moved LCS, Pendragon now because Marcoux's out, but they moved LCS to the weekdays because why would you put it on the weekend? It's going to look like, even though LCS is still going to get its 150,000, almost guaranteed, it's less than 500,000 still, and 500,000 is TV numbers. I have a friend that works at Showtime, so I know numbers in that TV show. He only tells me the numbers for HBO because, of course, they're competitors. That TV show Girls, which is really popular on social network, only averages 400,000 viewers. So we're talking a tournament that gets more viewers than nationally televised premium television subscription user or whatever. So it's pretty wild, and I don't know why anyone would want to do that.
Yeah. And it's sad, too, because I want to support StarCraft, too. I love that game as an esport. But now it's Blizzard made it hard for me, so...
There's no winners in this.
I think Valve might be winning.
For the viewers. There's no winners for the viewers.
I wouldn't say... If anything, it's more Blizzard lost than Valve actually won, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's only... I don't think... I like watching StarCraft, but I wouldn't turn on a regional final. Well, I wouldn't watch three regional finals in one day, ever. Maybe I'd watch the America one. So it's missing out on one regional final to watch the Super Bowl. I'd be 100% okay with that. I will be 100% okay with that when I'm at the NYC Pub Stomp and not caring about StarCraft at all. I hope they don't put on any of the TVs. That would be a distraction.
You keep your goddamn StarCraft out of my international.
I'm going to start a riot. get this out of here.
Break that goddamn television. So, yeah, I mean, there's really not much. I think there's a general consensus that Blizzard screwed up. Mm-hmm. Valve's probably high-fiving each other.
They didn't do anything. It's just...
That's the best kind of high-five, man. When I have to give no... When I have to do anything for it, it's even better. Mason was supposed to be on today. He wanted to talk about the mute system. We're going to do it without him because he's a D-bag. So just leaving us alone.
Mute him. Mute Darius.
Muted him.
You said dude, D-bag, you're out.
Yeah, that was that was the censored version of it. So it's fine.
It's still offensive to some people.
What do you guys think of the mute system?
Greg? I mean,
the revamp isn't as bad, I don't think.
The revamp seems okay. I don't know. The mute system is something which I think is necessary. I've never been muted. I've said some really horrible things. So maybe it doesn't work well enough. No, I'm not really sure. I mean, I think it's fine. I think it's definitely necessary because some people just, hate themselves and everyone else. I think, okay, so did you guys ever play Halo?
Yes.
Okay, so when you played, either some semi-sort of competitive Halo, when you died, if you died, several times in a row, you were dead longer. It was called growth. See, that's the kind of thing that needs to be involved with the mute system. Like, if you get muted once, it's like, whatever, a couple hours. You get muted again, it's like, okay, bro, 24 hours. You get muted again, it should be like a couple days. So maybe those people will just eventually stop. I mean, they won't, but then we just won't have to listen to them anymore.
I got stuck in a game today where we had a Ricky asking for wards the entire game. And I bought wards from the courier. He still asked for wards. He took the courier out and got the courier killed with the wards on it. Then he went AFK in the fountain for 20 minutes. Then came back and said, we need wards. And he got reported.
Well, I mean,
that's the kind of people that needs to be muted. I think, and he could talk, even though he's using the chat wheel. He said something once, so I knew he wasn't muted. But these are the kind of people that are trying to stop. And I don't think you can have any... Having the mute system be so strict is a good thing to me. Because you're trying to punish people. You know what I mean? To make it lenient and like make it so, like, for example, your teammates can unmute you doesn't help them not be shitheads. You know what I mean? There's a reason for them to be muted. And there's a reason why we have nothing.
Would you really unmute someone who got muted?
Well, if you're
would you really do that?
Friend, if you're with a friend that got muted, like I have a friend named Mal who got muted, I probably would. For like 5 seconds. And
then I'm Mal got muted?
Mal?
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
No, I'm not Mal the Strix or whatever. I don't know. Sorry. Another Mal.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, it's another Mal. But he rages all the time so I can see it. I understood why he got muted.
Yeah, I don't know. It was super broken before. I mean, we cast games and every single pro would be muted because all it took were like 4 votes and then you're just muted for 24 hours. Forever. Like there's no real rhyme or reason. It's just like if people want to randomly report you because you're popular, then screw you, you're out. So like I think the revamp made it a little better, but it's still one of those systems like I could say to a guy like, hey, I think that decision wasn't great. And it's like, report it for language. And they don't have people sitting there at offices and desks in Valve that are like filtering through our language and like, what did this guy say? It's like just based off of the reports and I guess maybe off your report rep because they're doing that kind of like people are getting those notifications that say a player you reported has been. So maybe there's better reporters and worse reporters. But yeah, it's like it's all subjective. So to an extent, it's really hard to monitor, and like I've never used to report people, and then I'd always log in and get those things that are like, a player you reported has been... I'm like, I don't report players, I don't know how this is happening, so I decided to start reporting people so I can actually get them legitimately.
The bug worked.
To fix the game, I'm just like, I'll fix this for you, Valve, I got this one.
I don't know much about it, but I know League of Legends has a tribunal system.
Yeah.
Which... Oh, that's awful.
Is it? I don't know.
It's
much
just
about
a bunch
it.
Of like vindictive players that go to the tribunal and they're like, "You were mean to me. I'm going to find a game where someone reported you and just take you out." Like it's just another threat they throw out there after throwing out their LOL King scores. They're like, "Yeah, the tribunal's going to eat you alive." That sounds like what's that? The Authority or something.
That sounds awesome. I want to be on a tribunal now.
I don't think you get to pick what you get.
I hope we don't get those.
They give you like 5 cases to look over. It's like a side job. Like you're just doing it for them and you have to like review them and see if they're offensive
sounds
or not.
It's like jury duty.
Yeah, it's kind of like jury duty except you're choosing to do it, which is like exactly what you can't do for jury duty. Everyone opt out.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I think it's better. It's probably on the right path. I mean, I think there definitely needs to be a mute system because without it people will just, you know, run rampant and do whatever they feel like. Nah, I don't love that.
I don't know. You can mute in game, right? So it's kind of like
that's what I do. Yeah,
just mute whoever you want. The other day, some guy told me to buy wards. And I didn't feel like it, so I just muted everyone in the game, and that was the solution. I was just like, okay, I don't feel like buying wards. I'm a carry. Ever. He's like, we just need everyone to contribute. I'm like, I'm a carry right now, and we're losing. I need my 200 gold or 150, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Thank God it's 150 now. Yeah. 200 was a lot worse.
Yeah, but now upgrading the courier is like the hardest thing in the world for supports. Like, you have to get a mortgage to try and upgrade the courier. 220 is ridiculous. I'm like begging neutral creeps for some cash.
Yeah.
Just one more last hit, sir. Yeah. Please.
Then you take it and you get reported. That's exactly like the circle of life.
Why am I muted?
I'm muted because I stole the last hit to upgrade the chicken.
I just wanted to upgrade the courier. But in Cyborg Matt's latest, you know, patch dissection, he found hints of the first custom map coming in for Dota 2. So it's called Holdout, and it's a 10-round game. We defend the base from couriers in 9 rounds, and then the boss is called something. It's called the Slytherin right now, but obviously this is all work in progress, and it has a new map as well. StarCraft actually boned up pretty hard with the custom maps and the arcade and all that. What kind of maps you guys looking forward to? I mean, I know most of us probably came from the Warcraft 3 days.
Yeah.
Any maps you're looking forward to getting ported over?
Kira Line Wars.
Wait, how is this?
Enfos?
Enfos is great.
Enfos, Uther Party, Warlocks, I mean, everything. Like, honestly, they're all amazing. Those games are the reason that Warcraft 3 was so popular for as long as it was. Like, the custom maps just increase the longevity of your game exponentially. And people still playing StarCraft 1 for, like, freaking Archon Tag, which was ridiculously fun back then.
Yep. I mean, I think, from what it sounds like, this is sort of like Horde and, like, Gears of War or, like, any of those games or Zombies or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Seems, I mean, that seems pretty fun to me. You basically just, it's also, on a kind of cool note, it seems like a good way to sort of learn heroes' abilities and stuff. Like, when I just look at this, I'm like, learning how to play Invoker would be sweet here. That's like perfect time to just spam out spells and stuff like that. So,
wait, I'm still like pretty confused. Like, is there a chance that like other party or Uther Party, whatever, and like I don't know, Sheep Tag and stuff like that will get imported into Dota 2?
Maybe not.
Like,
no, not those games directly.
Like recreated.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be
like
called
in a Dota obviously. Kind of way or something.
Yeah,
they'd use the
Dota
assets,
just like the you know like Dire Tide and stuff. Although Dire Tide used the same map. You know, just imagine a different map.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm kind of confused about. It seems like it would be not Dota 2. It would be like...
Maybe it would be a custom game.
The idea behind it... Yeah, they're supposed to be coming out with custom maps. And hopefully an editor down the line where you can make your own. Just like in Warcraft 3 where they made Uther Party out of and all that. That's planned eventually.
I mean, I guess I'm excited. I'm just... really confused about it for some reason.
I mean, it's a really good idea if they actually get the map editor. I remember Han promised the map editor like on release, and they've been around for 3 years, and I don't think they have one yet. But like I said, it increases the longevity, and then like for players like me that need a break once in a while, I go to Steam and look up another game, whereas I could just look for a custom game in Dota. And if I'm playing custom games, then I'm more likely to invest in cosmetics because I get to use them constantly in different settings as well. So it just seems like a money maker, really.
Oh, the cosmetics thing is a good point. Well, yeah, that would make it way more fun for me, too, because like, I have a whole bunch of cosmetics for like Omni Knight, but I don't like playing Omni Knight. Like, maybe it'll be more fun in something else.
How do you think they're going to bring out these custom maps? Do you think they should be free? Do you think they should have a market?
Free.
Just like,
they have to be free. Otherwise, no one's going to play them. I mean, we're talking about Valve here. They have experience with custom maps and map adaptations because of Counter-Strike, of course. Like, mods are their thing. So I think they'll make it free initially, and then maybe down the line they'll charge for the map editor, something like that, $5 maybe or something, make it into like its own little client. But I can't see them charging for the games themselves. That would be outrageous.
That'd be nuts.
Yeah, no,
I think
no
is
way.
That what is that what Blizzard tried to charge for some of the custom maps?
I don't know what they're doing now, but I know they had the arcade. What they wanted to do was they wanted to charge for custom maps, so that people like the authors would get money for them instead of making nothing. I don't know if they've done it or not. That was in the plans. Greg may know more about that than me because it's been a while.
One more time, what was it about?
Them charging for custom maps in StarCraft 2, the marketplace.
As far as I know, they don't do that.
Last time I played, they didn't, but yeah, they wanted to. They wanted to because they wanted to be able to give income to the people who were creating these maps instead of having no income whatsoever. And
we'll just pay them.
Yeah, just give them some of your money. It's not like Blizzard's on welfare or anything.
In cash. Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah. Like, oh, we'd like to give them money, but our $8 billion aren't enough. Like, we need to find a source where we can extort it from the people and then give it back to you first.
Yeah.
And you already have to pay, like, what, $50 for the first StarCraft? $30? I don't even know. But you shouldn't have to pay that much afterwards. It's all about free games now.
It is.
It's true. So we hit a couple milestones this week just to kind of close the show out on 5 million unique players this month so far. And it's 28, so we figure maybe by next month we'll get up to 6 million if we're lucky, especially with the international coming.
One thing I'd like to talk about really quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
They took off the requirement of playing the tutorial to be able to spectate games.
Mm.
I think that's actually a huge deal. I have to imagine that the international is going to be on the front page of Steam, and that it's going to be like, hey, you can watch the international right here by downloading the client. I have to imagine that's going to happen. Right. And that will be so sick.
Yeah, there'll be a ton of players in game, and it's going to instantly turn into people buying compendiums. So they're just going to make even more money. I wonder how they're going to do it. Like, are compendium going to continue to tally on throughout the competition? Because that seems like the best thing for the players, at least, because that prize pool can go up another, you know, 40 grand maybe if a lot of people are watching and want to get involved. But if they shut it down beforehand, they're definitely missing out on that opportunity. So I think they'll probably leave it live.
Yeah, that's what I would say. I mean, especially because I have to imagine that, like, it might be like a percentage-based payout. I don't really know how they'll market.
Yeah, I want to see the breakdown.
I'm kind of interested about that because, like, you know, they have all this money now, and last year first prize gets $1 million. First prize probably needs more than $1 million this year. But how much more is kind of the question.
Yeah, but $1 million is still like an outrageous amount of money. So it's interesting to see. And a lot of people are speculating that the 1v1 competition is going to end up having a payout at the end. And like, even if they only put, which I say only, but for their prize pool and what they have to distribute, even if they only put 20 grand as the total for the 1v1 winner, that's still an absurd amount of money because there's going to be a team in eighth place taking home like 40 grand for their team. And the one player is walking out with 20 grand for himself from 1v1 series. That's pretty, like, whatever they do, if they do put prize money in that, that would be, like, almost more hype than some of the games, because that's going to be so intense.
I hope they put a prize pool on it. It's not like there's a lack of money at this point. Like, it's at, like, 2.7 million right now. That's just, that's an absurd amount of money.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I was going to say, are they going to be playing it in the live section or in the group stages section?
In the live.
It's live, right?
Yeah, it's live. The TI is one day longer this year, or two days longer?
Two days longer
this year. One day for the 1v1 tournament and one day because last year was just way too long. Like, the days were way too long.
Like, a whole day for the 1v1 tournament?
I imagine. Dude, eight players, they're going to broadcast every single game. That's 1, 2, 3, 4 just for the first round.
Yeah, I guess. I think there will also be some actual TI3 action there too, though, that day.
I mean, that's 7 rounds just for that. And I mean, maybe there'll be a game or two or something. But last year, the days were just way too long.
Yeah. I mean, wait, we went there at like, what, 9 a.m.?
Yeah, 9 a.m. and like, left at like 1 a.m. It was just completely unacceptable. It was so,
and we're
like
spectators. Like,
I was so tired. Holy shit.
The players must have been like exhausted, like, oh my god, playing the whole day, getting 8 hours of sleep, and then doing that all over.
Yeah,
it was long. Watching it,
oh my god,
9 a.m. to midnight, wake up again just to watch it. Oh,
hard life.
It was good.
Hard life
stuff.
First,
was there like an area where you can just like inside Benaroy where you can just like go back and chill, like a lounge or something?
Not for normal spectators. For players and media, there's a players lounge.
That's what they need. They need like just a spectator chill area, so you don't have to actually leave the building, but you can move around, because sitting in those chairs for like 9 hours would be devastating.
There's a Starbucks. That you
It's like, the thing is, it's much different than like most events, because most events you go and it's like the convention hall, and then there's like nothing for miles. This is like, if I don't know how familiar any of you guys are with Seattle. I mean, Nick knows because he was there, but it's literally like 1,000 feet away from Pike's Place Market. Like, it's in the middle of Seattle. Like, Benaroya Hall is where the Seattle Symphony plays, and they are smack dab in the middle of everything, like right in the financial district. So there's tons of places to go and like hang out and stuff.
So it's like being by Faneuil Hall in Boston.
Exactly. That's pretty cool, yeah. Then. Exactly. So
you can peace out for a while and find something.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
To do.
There's Subway.
Most people did that.
Yeah. Subway, CVS, Pike's Place Market.
Wait, did you go to that one Subway that's like really close?
Yeah,
there?
I went to the Subway.
I went there 5 times, dude. That was my spot. Because it's like super close, so I just grabbed something because I didn't want to miss the games and just go back.
Actually, this is kind of a funny story. I'm not sure anyone's ever told this story like on a streaming thing. So when we were in Seattle, it was me, Blitz, Hayoka from Team Liquid, and Sheever, and we were walking to the Starbucks, and I think it was like a homeless guy stopped us, and he was like, "Who's the lucky guy that's dating this fine woman?" And all of us, like, just started laughing so hard, because Sheever is literally taller than all of us. Like, Sheever is extremely tall, and it was the funniest thing ever. Like, well, we're actually just here to watch video games. Sorry.
You should have just pinned it on somebody.
Yeah, that's true. Should have just thrown Blitz right into
like
the truck.
Blitz. And the guy would be like, "That's a nice couple." He's trying to figure it out for the rest of his walk.
Purge comes out of the cuts like, "What, Blitz, you're cheating on me?"
Oh, man. Yeah. That's pretty funny. But...
Well, I think we've gone on long enough this week.
Hold on. We got another thing to talk about. Else? Another thing we want to talk about. The next goal is $600,000 away. Yeah. That, to me, seems a little ridiculous. Thoughts?
So $600,000 is only like $6 million from us, right?
It's less than that.
I'm not doing the fourth ratio. Yeah, so it's 6 million divided by 4.
2.4,
right?
No.
Eight, 6 no, divided by wrong. 4. 6 divided by 1 point anyone? Something.
6 divided by 4.
1 point, no, no, 1.5. 1.5. No, 25%.
Yeah, 6 divided by 4. Oh, yeah, you're right. No, it's 6 times 4.
6 times 4, thank you. 2.4 million.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of dollars.
No, I don't think that's happening.
See, okay, so herein lies my thing. Shouldn't you think there would be another goal between this
What's
one
left?
And the last one? I don't know.
You get to import a hero. That's the last one, right?
So something that's less extreme than that.
So what would you want? What is it, 3.2 million for the next one?
Yeah.
Okay, so what would your $2.9 million goal be?
I don't know.
It's a pretty hard question.
You should get like an unusual effect to apply on any one item you want or something like that.
That's not bad.
It seems like it would be pretty cool. Like if you can put not something cheesy like the snowflakes, but something, some kind of like cool aura on a sword or something. It seems pretty fun.
That's a good idea. It should work for Valve.
Well, I don't like the last goal. You get to pick a hero to be imported in. That sounds like Valve's job, and we're just like incentivizing it. Like, hey guys, we provided you with, I don't even know what that would require at that point, like $7 million of funding. Bring in the heroes that are supposed to be here already. Thanks. Like, we're just... Just pushing them along a little bit. We should be able to like craft our new hero. Like,
yeah, that's a great man. That is a great idea.
That would be horrible, but it would be awesome because
that hero would come out really bad. Imagine like Ice Frog just creates like 10 heroes, and then the community just votes on one, and that's the new Dota hero.
It should be like you get to see like 10 art layouts. You don't even get to know the abilities. That would be super badass.
Just the art.
Yeah, just the art, and you just have to vote on it, and like we're going to end up with the shittiest
Turns
one. But...
This guy can one-shot you globally.
Well, actually, that wouldn't work, because everyone would pick, if there was a girl, they'd pick the girl, like, because that's how Dota fans are. So
damn right.
But I don't know. It just seems like we're gonna get techies, and then it's like, well, no one wants to play Dota anymore because all picks the worst game mode in the world.
Imagine if they voted in Phoenix, how many pissed off people would be if it wasn't techies.
Oh my god,
we brought Phoenix.
I mean, it has to be techies, right?
It would be because it would be a vote, right?
Yeah, so it'd be techies.
What if everyone's just trolling and it's not actually techies?
Dude, I won't play Dota for 2 weeks if it's techies.
That's not going to be long enough. That's not long enough at all.
One of the funnest heroes ever.
You're one of those people, Nick. You're one of those people that fuck up games.
Dude, Status Trap, Yule Scepter, that's like 8 seconds of CC. That's fucking hilarious. Even more than 8 seconds, I think.
On the flip side, though, so many more people are going to queue all random because of it, that it's actually going to benefit a lot of us.
That's
because
true, yeah.
I sit in all random queue for like 9 minutes, and then you get a game, and I don't even know why the Dota gods hate you. They give like PL, Coddle to the other team, and you're like, I don't want to play all random. But the alternative is going to be techies, so you might as well just do it.
Yeah. Well, the queue for all pick is like under like 10 seconds half the time now. I had 2 seconds and a pop earlier. It's great. I don't know what they did with the queue, but it's so fast now.
Well, I mean, there's so many more players now.
Yeah. I think
they changed the algorithms, too.
That download queue is still, like, hovering around 100,000 every time someone links it.
I think it's like, 100,000, but from what I've heard, that, like, goes through in, like, a day, though. They go through.
Yeah, like but I'm saying, like, it's still impressive if, like, on a week-to-week basis, it's still around 100,000.
That's true.
Because that's before, like, everyone keeps complaining about Valve not advertising this game or whatever. The International is the advertisement. It's, like, glorious ad that they're throwing out there that's going to garner more attention than any TV commercial you can buy. But around that time, it's going to be pretty rough to be in those queues, I'd assume.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, it's been 2 weeks since we went on a beta, and it's about 1.2 million, so that's about 100,000 a day that have come in, that they've authorized and given downloads to.
Sounds about right. That's a lot of fucking people, man. Holy shit.
Math checks out.
That is pretty outrageous.
I'm not a math major, but that sounds right to me.
It's good to me.
It's a lot of people.
I hate math.
All right. Well, have we talked long enough? I'm not sure.
I have no clue.
Sounds about right. I would say 56
minutes.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Also, we'll wrap it up. I'd like to start the shout-outs.
Sure. I'm
going to start with Cyberpower PC for being badass as I sit here staring at my beautiful computer. seriously, though, their computers are really great. If you guys want a custom desktop, or even they have custom laptops, too, check out their website, and they'll be able to hook you up. Second shout-out is going to go out to... I don't have a second shout-out. Next person.
Nick?
Shout-out to Team Dignitas. Obvious TI3 winners.
Oh, my God. Uh-oh. Oh, here we go.
Shots fired?
Here we go.
I don't know. No,
he's serious. He's actually serious. That's
dude, easy. Dignitas, number one. Orange, number two. Navi, number three.
Hey, that top
really?
Three.
Really? This is a...
Hey,
I don't agree with your
I'm
top three.
I'm taking bets on that. But anyway,
Greg,
shout out to
that captures tears, right?
Yup.
Shout out to David Gorman, LD Dota, and yeah, that's about it for me.
Shout out to Cyberpower PC as always.
Don't even know our sponsor's name.
Shout out to Mason as well for not being here tonight. And that's all my shout outs. John, how about you?
Shout outs to you guys for letting me on the show. It was a risky move. It went okay though, I think. And shout outs to Secrets, shout outs to my Twitter at MYJohnTV. Go follow me if you haven't already. That'd be awesome.
Oh yeah, follow me too at Cruel Dota.
Look at this guy.
I'll follow you if you follow me.
Deal.
That was
I'll
easy.
Tweet you if you tweet me.
Okay, I'm not going that far. Let's calm down.
Okay.
You've gone too far, Nick. Well, thank you for coming, John. Thanks, everybody, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime, man. And we'll see you all next week.